Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
All right. Good to see everybody. Oh, in the house. Oh, yes, indeed.
With this all my training, I have 19,000 this song.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that.
Indeed.
And that's something about
Yeah, but see, that's intentionality. See, you asked for that, right? Yes. And the running after is an intentionality. He sees us and he runs after us because he loves us. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to be people who run after others. With this in mind, today we're talking about the systems or the currents in our lives. Those things that challenge us and give us those things that make us have to fight in those challenges. And these are the things that God has allowed. You know, that's the thing, is that, you know, God is sovereign. He can allow whatever he wants. And he allows sometimes evil to win out. And why is that? You know, and this is part of the thing, is that he creates systems that do not supersede his sovereignty. And the thing that we have to understand, he works all things together for the good who love you, love him, and called according to his purposes. Through communion, I talked about this, that God loved Daniel. God could have kept him out of the lion's den. Nope. He had to go to the lion's den. And God gets the glory for those lion's mouths being shut. And sometimes we pray for an easy life. But God is calling us to be people who are faithful, who have to do the hard things. And I just appreciate what he's done. So we have to think about those systems, because he was living in a system in Babylon that did not have his prosperity in mind. They were against him. And with that in mind, the question is, how do you overcome that? Right. So one example, and I don't want to go into all the details of this, but one example is just the summer. And I want to just talk about a system that we sometimes take for granted and something that's impacted our country and things like that. There's a lot of interconnected systems, but this is what I wanted to mention and just show a video around some of this. So I'm going to need to get sound. But one of the things that, you know, I appreciate is, for example, is what's the three best parts of teaching? Anybody know? In the United States, what's the three best things about teaching? June, July, and August. You got it. So those are the three things. Nothing against teaching. I love teaching. But one of the things about teaching is that we literally get 3 months off That deals with salary and other stuff. We don't want to talk about the details of that system. But that's a system that was in place because people had to do agriculture. People had to go work on their farms. And what happened was that we no longer had to work on farms, but we kept those 3 months, which is nice. I'm not going to, argue over that. But there is some challenges that we face even as people. Because guess what? You forget stuff. Over that length of time, you forget a lot of material. And that doesn't mean that, you should be working 12 months a year, but you can have breaks, but we understand you reap what you sow. So those 12 months, and especially detrimental for folks who from the inner city who have other things going on, when you end up having to reteach stuff every year. After COVID, it's been really tough because folks have lost a lot of basic skills. A lot of folks are going into college these days and not being able to do basic math. And so this is one of the things that this is at like University of San Diego, which is a hard school to get into. One in every 8 kids can't do middle school math. And so this is just the kind of stuff that the system has put in place. And so the question is, what do you do about that? Tolerate it. This is the system that you've been given. How do you work with it? So those kind of things that we have to address. But with this in mind, there's a video that talks about the good old American wasteline. And it talks about 4 systems that are in place we probably don't think about that have really impacted us. It impacted diabetes. It impacted so many other things. But I just wanted to share it. And essentially, it starts off, I'm skipping the beginning, but it starts off in the 70s. We saw people on the beach and stuff like that. Very few people were obese. The reason why Fat Albert stuck out was because he was one of the few people who was actually fat. Most people were not obese. And so the question is, why? What was the system in place? It wasn't because people were all eating healthy, and stuff like that. So here's the video. I hope we can hear it.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
So this is John 4, Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So they came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was around noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town by food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty, have to keep coming here to draw water."
He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
I love this scripture.
Put it in the chat.
Yeah, they've been doing that. Just checking. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So with this in mind, there are a ton of systems that are visual here. You know, and you know those visions and those systems and those processes are part of this process. And this month we're looking closely at John 4 and the systems that are present in it. This is our first week, and we're looking to see how these systems impact the world and how we are impacted by them and how it impacts how we make disciples, how we reach other people. So I have mine. What systems did y'all see in that story? What systems did y'all see? What are systems that you see present here? So, for example, I'll give you the one that sticks out to me is the woman said she can't. The Jews don't associate with Samaritans. Why is he even asking about it? That was the system. You don't mess with Samaritans. The Samaritans don't mess with you. Are there any other systems that you see here? I don't get to the next part of the scripture, but when the disciples come back, they essentially look and they say, "Why is he talking to a Samaritan? Why is he talking to this woman?" You know, there was gender stuff. There was racial stuff. It was stuff that was there. And so it's the other things that are there. You talked about shame. I think that's what you're dealing with, because she probably was going because she had her five husbands. And people did not want to, you know, she didn't have to answer questions about her latest husband or have people laugh at her or talk about her. Yeah, there's so much stuff there. So there was the gender separation system, the system of hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. It wasn't just dislike. They hated each other. Let's be real. The system of shame for things that people do. The older system that the Messiah would come and teach and fix all ungodly systems. And the human need, which I think we often overlook, for feeling to needing to be seen, to be heard, to be valued. We have that need. You know, that's why when you talked about that guy getting those shoes, guess what? He felt valued. And so that's the thing that God is trying to do. The whole healing stuff, it wasn't because he just liked to heal folks. He wanted people to know he cared about them. That's the system that was the older system. That was the whole point of the Old Testament. God didn't just look at the rules and say, I'm gonna come up with a whole bunch of rules. It's things you can't do. No, he was trying to have a relationship, a healthy one. And we're gonna talk a little bit about that, those systems, okay? So with this in mind, systems are like authorities, the actors, the organisms, the tools used to process and rules and methods of getting things carried out. That's what a system does. For good or for bad, that's what a system is. They interact with each other like the systems of the body, but each has their own skills and task. You know, we know how the body works. You have the circulatory system, you have the nervous system, you have the digestive system, you have all these systems working together. And that's how God does it. But the thing is that, like, the nervous system has authority over the things that it does, you know, and it doesn't. And so that's the thing. The ear doesn't tell the eye what to do. We know these kind of things, but we also have a brain. And so the thing about us as organisms, we have to put ourselves under subjection to the head so we can do the things we were designed to do. And our systems take care of the rest. And so God operates the structures and systems. He delegates authorities. He accomplished the goals he sets. He gave mankind authority. But they have to prove loyal to his system. He set Satan in motion to test that loyalty from the very beginning. We think that because a person that is quote unquote ungodly might be in office or something like that, that God didn't allow that. God allowed that. Because one of the things that God is looking for is, are you going to stand against what's wrong? When Adam came to Eve, he didn't say, oh, you blew it, I blew it, we should not be talking to this snake. No, instead he says, oh, let me taste that. You said that fruit tastes good? Let me have that fruit too. Give me some. That's the issue is that we have a choice. And God intended us to have that choice because what that choice shows is where our heart is. And by choosing to follow after our own way, you know, to be able to, that is what messes with the system. Okay. Go ahead. Talk to me.
Interacting with the old system and the ones that you have to make their decision, you can interact with people and talk to them. You can move.
And it ain't gonna be perfect. It didn't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got you. We can't build a whole bunch of new houses for everybody. Right. But, you know, we're trying to get air conditioners. We can try and find air conditioners for folks, you know, and that helps people. And what God is putting in place is that focusing on his image bearers and honoring them and seeing them is the more important thing. That's the old system where you value those who love him. And it called according to his purposes. And it doesn't matter what their background was. You know, and you know, Rahab was a perfect example. She was a prostitute. She was in the wrong side of town, the wrong side of the wall. And God used her to save her family and is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So, but does that tell you how God sees things? That's the old law. The old law is that it ain't about the details. It's about, do you love my people and do you love me in that regard? Here are some systems that we also have to deal with. I got some of these, yeah, a little bit Gemini's help, but again, neutral systems. Functional but prone to corruption, for example. The monetary system. The monetary system, is it good or bad? Oh, it leads to a whole bunch of greed. You know, that whole idea of communism versus capitalism and all this good stuff, all of them have issues. But the thing is that it in itself is neutral. The money, you know, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And so that's the challenge we have to face. All right, so the monetary system, the currency, weights, balance, and, you know, marketing, trading, the taxation system. Revenue collection by both Israelite kings and foreign empires to fund infrastructure, a tribute. We know how that goes. All right, I have a question for y'all. Which disciple is Levi? Most people don't know who Levi is. He wrote one of the Gospels. Yeah. Most people don't think about that. This guy wrote one of the Gospels. Which Gospel is the Gospel of Levi? Huh? All right, doing some deduction. I love it. Why not? We know Peter had his name changed. He was Simon. We know Luke was outside the disciples, but even the... So Luke is Mark. Matthew, well, yeah, we can fight over some of that. It was all details. I don't want to go into details of that. But yeah, it was Matthew. Matthew was Levi. His name is changed. One reason why? Jesus changed his name like he did with Peter. That may be one reason why Peter was always kind of upset with him. Who knows? Because he had his name changed first. But one of the things about it is that taxation, awkwardness, and ickiness, Jesus couldn't just clear that up. He changed his name. You were no longer that guy who did that taxes. Because don't forget how they do taxes back then. They would give people contracts to get as much money as you can, and then you give us our part. And so as a result, tax collectors were notoriously, you know, trying to fill their own pockets. And so when Matthew followed Jesus, left a good paying job to follow Jesus, that says something. And one of the things that Jesus did was change his name. It's just an interesting thing, you know, as it's part of that process. On the legal system, you know how that woman goes to the judge, the unjust judge, and bothers him all the time so he can at least, she can get justice for her situation. And eventually he says, I'll do what she asks because I'm tired of her listening to her mouth. But she understood she had no advocate outside the system. She had to find somebody in the system. And this is, again, these are systems that God put in place. And you notice how she used what she had to get that system overcome. There's a census system. That's the system that got Jesus to Bethlehem. Okay, because everybody had to go back to their own homes, they could count people. All these little systems in place, God used all of them for his good, for his process, for his kingdom. It's just amazing how he worked that out. All right, I go on. Then there's negative systems like the system of principalities and wickedness in high places. We see that in Daniel. We see that in Ephesians. So that's the thing. So we have to understand that we're dealing with those kind of systems. There's the world system that's designed to tear us down. It's designed by the Satan. It's just designed to make us go against God. And there's the imperial system. You know, that's one of the things we're fighting for, even in this country and other countries. You know, we don't want a king to just dictate everything, because they often have their self-interest in mind. And then there's a system of legalism. That was the system that Jesus had to fight against. And that was the Pharisees and all of that. Those the rigid religious systems that weaponized laws to oppress people while ignoring justice and mercy. The old system was justice and mercy. Let things be established by two or three witnesses and all that. The new system used the law as a weapon to build up their own power. You had, and so we talked about why the Pharisees did what they did, et cetera, but that system of legalism was detrimental and against God's system. But that was the system that was in place. And Jesus fought against it. He stood against it. At the same time, he said, you have to listen to the Pharisees, because currently they're in charge. And so again, he understood how systems were in place. There were authority in place. And he came to fulfill the old system, not just to tear it down. What happens when systems thrive, and how do systems thrive? All right, and so systems that we deal with are systems like the system of sin. This is what I'm talking about, corporate and systematic sin. Like the whole stuff we saw with the food. You know, we're supposed to be good stewards of our body, and all this stuff is coming against us from being good stewards of our body. It is just there. And so it's the persistent and sometimes sudden process of dying. They're important. Sin and death. Okay, so that's the thing. There's a system of sin and death. Guess what Jesus destroys? He destroys both of them. And now there's still those other systems of the world that we have to deal with. We're still in this age. So the age of death, the age of, you know, of us still having to deal with our personal and corporate sin, we're still living in that. That will be victory. We have victory over that in the next age. But for now, we're dealing with having to deal with that and knowing that those things are dead. The example that a lot of people give is what happened after World War II was over. Even in Europe, with the killing of Hitler and all that, there were still Germans all over Europe who didn't know the war was over. Just like, you know, with Juneteenth, there was folks who did not know slavery was over, so they kept working. They did not know. And so we're in that time right now where the victory has already been won, but people don't know that yet. And the age has not been fulfilled. And that's when Jesus returns. So those are the things that we're dealing with. Understand those systems is part of that process. All right. So we can stand against corrupt systems, but even then it requires other systems, like the woman who had to go get the unjust judge, you know, and stuff like that. We have to deal with financial pressures. So it's nice to be able to be a disciple and to go and preach the Lord, the gospel to everybody. But Stephen, you gotta get money, don't you? We have to raise money. I mean, it's just part of this process, you know? And so you can't get out of that process. And so, when we evangelize and disciple, we must be aware that these systems are things that people are a part of. They have to make money. They can't come to your Bible study because they have to work 6 days a week. Maybe can we get them better jobs? You know, these are the kind of things that we can start to try and work on. Fix those systems and ask God, Lord, we need your help to fix this system so these other pieces can be in place. Lord, can I get off Sundays? You know what I'm saying? These are the kind of things we have to pray for. And then there's subtle systems that we sometimes take for granted, like the Pax Britannica. Most of y'all know the pirate movies, What was the big pirate movies? The Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Yeah. When did that stop? So theoretically, it never stopped. So the people still do pirating things. But when the British, during the slave trade, said we are going to regulate the slave trade and other things because it was to their advantage. And just so you know, I was just looking at all this. It is crazy how it mimics what we're dealing with today. What happens, the British, they messed with the slave trade because they had abolished slavery and other stuff like that. But one of the things that they did was to be the police of the ocean. And because it allowed for fair trade, even of slaves at the time. And what it did was it changed everything. Eventually, we got rid of pirates. But, you know, just think of a container ship. How much does a container ship have on it? Anybody know? It's over $1 billion, almost $2 billion worth of stuff. If somebody was to commandeer that ship, like 9 people on it, you could make yourself money. That's how much is on each one of those ships. And guess what they had to deal with those kind of ships? They had to have insurance. British had to spend a lot of money on that Navy. Guess where they made their money? On insurance for all the ships, because that's how they were able to get free passage. And they were the ones who were insuring the free passage. So the British made a ton of money on insurance. Guess what's going on in the Strait of Hormuz? People ain't willing to go because their insurance won't pay for it. A lot of this insurance in the United States. We are now the police of the oceans because of trade. These are a lot of things that we don't think about. But if somebody wanted to get $1 billion real quick, just take one of those ships, unload it. You got yourself stuff. You can start your own. Who knows what's on those ships? So I just throw that out to you because we sometimes take this stuff for granted. But that was a system, and the system is patrolled by police. That's one reason why our defense spending is so much, because we are the police of the world that allows for free trade, which allows our dollar to be central. It's, you know, and because of that, that's a reward that we get from that. But this is part of that system. Understand those systems so you can start to see how those things work. Now, you know, I just wanted to share that with y'all because we can stand against these systems, like the abolitionists, like during the civil rights movement, like no kings or whatever. These kind of things, or you have to stand against systems that you don't think are right. At the same time, ideally, you want to have laws or rules that will set that in motion. We want to honor the Constitution and things like that. But again, this is part of this process. All right, how we subvert the system like Jesus did through God's kingdom and systems that set things straight in the next age, through authentic love. Jesus' love covered a multitude of sin. For example, with the woman at the well, she had 5 husbands. You know, this is, and the one she was with now ain't her husband. What's the penalty of that? Death. All right, let's be real. That was the penalty. God set that penalty up so people would understand it was serious. But when God had an opportunity to do that, it was interesting. He chose often not to, because his grace was sufficient. And where's the sin? The sin is always against God. You know, we also have sin against people. We harm people, but the sin is always against God. And he's able to forgive that sin. And so David, not only did he commit adultery, he commits murder. And God deals with that. You know, his son dies as a result of that. It was not like he got off scot-free. There was a death that happened. But he did not die. God did not take his life. He wanted God to take his life. God said no. But one of the things that David did, which is really important, when he figured all this mess up, mess out, he chose to go to God. When his son was dying, he was in mourning. He wasn't going to eat nothing until his son was healed or God did something. And when God took his son, he got up, brushed himself off, and kept going. Was that selfish? No, that was trusting God for the situation. Go ahead, talk to me. Yeah, and when we're dealing with people, we're sometimes going to have to deal with some real trauma, some real challenges, and talk about discipling folks. But it's something important in this regard. To me, it comes down to the difference between Peter and Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. Judas went into despair after that. Some people say he was possessed by the evil one and all of the stuff. There's a lot of other things going on with that. But the thing is, he ends up committing suicide. Where Peter is upset. He's crying. He is tortured by it. But when Jesus shows up, he's 100 meters away from the shore. He doesn't wait for the boat to turn around. He swims there. That's what Peter does. And what's the difference? I mean, Peter also tries to kill a guy. The only reason why he didn't kill the king's high priest, or the guard, because he missed. That's why he cuts off his ear. He wasn't aiming for no ear. And so that's who Peter is. But the thing is that Peter goes to God. What did David do? He went to God. That's what God wants, us to go to God, not to do it on our own terms. The folks who rebelled against Moses, they didn't go to God. They said, we're going to be better than Moses. God, you're going to have to honor us. You know, that's a problem. And so I even mentioned this because, you know, the issue is can somebody who commits suicide go to heaven? All right. Why do you say that? But with suicide, you can't get back up. I got you. And the Bible says the only one thing you can't, it won't be forgiven is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so David committed murder. What is suicide? It's murder. If you're a Christian, if you're a true Christian who commits murder, you can still be forgiven, right? You see what I'm saying? So that's the issue with suicide. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the problem with suicide is that if you're successful, you don't have a choice to fix anything. But if you are a Christian or you're a Christian, God's got you. He's not happy with you. I got you. But this is part of the nature of this peace is that love covers a multitude of sin. How do we deal with systems? We have to make sure that we love folks. What did Jesus do with the Samaritan woman? He loves her. He sees her. She felt seen. She felt valued. She felt that the God of the universe knows about me and actually wants to have a relationship with me, despite all the systems that are in place. I mean, can you imagine? We're about to go to a story after this where people are upset because they're looking for a sign. They want a sign from Jesus. This woman got all the signs she needed because God cared about her. You know, think about that. That's what God is looking for. He is looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. And that's what she did. It was like, you care about me? God cares about me. I got to go tell people. Even the people who are ashamed, who will shame me when I do the water well. You know, that is the people she was going to go back to and tell, come see a man who knew about my situation. Mm. Now, that's love. It covers emotions. So it doesn't just cover the sin. It got her excited about the relationship. All right. And then though not also through not focusing on individual sins, but individual choice to choose God's kingdom on his terms. Not about individual sins, but about choosing God's kingdom over the world system. Jesus did not focus on the Samaritan woman's mistakes or choices, but her heart. And the implications of this around systems that we're into right now is huge. And I want to make sure we get a chance to mention some of this and or talk about what's next. All right, John 3, 4, and 5 deal with the system of this age and Jesus subverting those systems in the present. The sexism, the racism, et cetera, et cetera. And so these are some questions that I was gonna mention. Why did they question him? Well, I kind of mentioned this. They questioned him when he was talking to the woman and the disciples get back. John had to write, you know what? I'm going to skip that part. We're going to talk about that next week. I'm going to talk about this next week because I think we're low on time. But this is the spirit of what we are thinking about. How do we notice our own isms, our own challenges, the things that bother us about other people? And this is what we're dealing with regarding the whole process with a lot of conservatives canceling people. We can't cancel people. We can, you know, we can say, you got to know Jesus. And we love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. At the same time, we can't cancel folks. Jesus didn't cancel anybody. Even the Pharisees, they came to him at night. He ain't canceled. We talked to him. You know, this is the kind of stuff we have to. He answered most of the Pharisees' questions. He didn't cancel them. He also told them, you ain't right, because your system is not my system. And my system is older than yours. It's better than yours. It fulfills anything that yours thinks it can do. And so that's why Jesus had to stand against it. But he didn't cancel nobody. All right, so today is communion, and we're not doing connections. So we just wanted to see if people had questions and stuff like that. So we can gather, we can answer some of these things that are on your heart, or think about these systems that we have to stand against, and how do we do that? So, but if you have other questions, this is a question and answer. May or may not be able to answer some of your questions, but we'll see how that goes. But do you all have questions? You want to make sure we have a time to do that. But before we do that, let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you have given us authority, oh Lord, to be your image bearers, to be people, Lord, who are part of your kingdom, who represent your kingdom. And I pray, Father, right now that you would grant us, Lord, just a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you. We pray, oh Father, that you help us, oh Lord, to see the systems that we're part of, see the systems that we, oh Lord, have perpetrated even on others because of our inadequacies and sin. And we just pray, Father, that you help us, oh Lord, to correct those things, but also, Lord, to deal with reality and deal with where we're at and meet people where they're at. And we appreciate you, Lord, for this. And we just pray that you allow your word to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold in our lives. Help us to know who the Samaritan women are in our lives. Help us to know, oh Father, the evangelists they are, to see them as such, not as sinners, but as evangelists. And help us to, oh Lord, to check the systems that are not of you, that claim to be of you. And help us, oh Lord, to be your representatives and your children by resemblance, to not cancel anyone, but Lord, to help them, oh Lord, to know that you love them, no matter what they may do. And you've given a way, oh Lord, to follow you that gives life. Lord, we pray all these things in your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.